Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is Brandon Showalter, who writes for the Christian Post, christianpost.com, and some of his articles lately have been dealing with the issue of the transgender movement. We're going to talk about that right now on Vocal Point. Brandon, thanks so much for joining us. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I know this is probably not something that you've covered in your recent articles, and we'll get to those in just a moment, but just recently there was a fight that is, one of these professional type fights, and a man who has transitioned to being supposedly a woman beat a woman. And you look at the two and you're thinking, well, there's no surprise there biologically, but have we lost our mind? Have we, just lost our common sense?
I certainly think so. That entire event, and there have been others before that, sort of encapsulates the insanity of this gender identity movement. If a man can be whatever he says he is, including a woman, you don't have to wait very long before you actually see a man physically battering a woman, and it's being seen as in the eyes of our media luminaries as legitimate. It's somehow, this is not something that the masses support. Many people can see the insanity of this. But what's the difference between a man battering a woman and a man battering a woman and calling himself Ashley or Jane or Susan? I mean, seriously, this is absolutely nuts.
Huh. Okay. Recently, there was a situation where Arkansas had a law related to transgender. In fact, here's what you wrote. A federal judge has temporarily blocked an Arkansas law banning the use of experimental drugs and gender transition surgeries on minors, which was set to take effect. And the law called the Save Adolescents from Experimentation, or SAFE Act, was adopted earlier in the year. And so let's talk about that law itself. I guess the governor, even though he is a Republican, he vetoed the bill. Just tell us about the law itself, and we'll get into, the specifics later.
Yes, the law is the first of its kind anywhere that I've seen. A state legislature passed a law forbidding the use of experimental drugs to suppress normal puberty in gender dysphoric children. This has been happening. There's been pushback against this kind of thing overseas, but this is the first of its kind in the United States where we've got a lawmaking body that's saying no to this. And you're correct that Governor Asa Hutchinson, though he's a Republican, vetoed the bill, but the state legislature overwhelmingly overrode that measure. But then, as you also say, the ACLU's filed a lawsuit and there's courts that are contending against it. It's going to be a very interesting phenomenon to watch, because these are completely experimental procedures. And England, there's a court decision that said children can't consent to this. And then Sweden and Finland have both made similar moves. I think we need to look under the hood and pull back the curtain and see what Big Pharma wants to do, because if you put these children on a lifetime of experimental drugs to do something as awful as halt their puberty and then maybe put them on cross-sex hormones in pursuit of becoming the opposite sex, which is, of course, impossible, you've got a medical scandal on your hands. And that's what I think this is ultimately going to result in. And we'll be seeing lawsuits here shortly, I believe. We're not far off from that time.
What is gender dysphoria?
Gender dysphoria is a condition that's in the DSM-5, sort of the Manual for Psychiatric Conditions, which is about severe incongruence and discomfort with one's biological sex. It's a very, for people that do experience that, it's a very terrible and torturous condition. But up until recently, within the past several years, really, most this was almost exclusively seen in young boys. Very young boys, and that's been for the past approximate, 100 years of diagnostic, clinical history. Now it's disproportionately impacting teenage girls and young women who are going and getting their breasts amputated and heavily using testosterone. It's been marketed to young people, especially those with vulnerabilities like autism or behavior problems or social anxiety. It's really alarming what has been allowed to be set in motion. As part of the ongoing LGBT movement, even though there are some gays and lesbians who are fiercely opposed to this.
I understand that a lot of the gender dysphoria resolves itself naturally by puberty,
right,
or thereabouts.
That's true. The medical literature that we do have on this subject shows that 80 to 90% of children who are diagnosed who have severe incongruence about their biological sex, they have severe discomfort with their bodies, if allowed to go through puberty, it resolves on its own. And that approach has historically been known as watchful waiting. Intervening with, untested hormonal agents, this is a very, very new practice. And to do it on such a large scale, and then again, I would just say follow on by irreversible cross-sex hormones and then surgery. We're doing a live experiment on children, and it forecloses their fertility. And I just personally, when did it become medically ethical to sterilize a child for a psychological condition? I mean, are we going to say that that's fine just because it's wrapped in a rainbow flag? I don't.
What's interesting, too, is you were mentioning earlier that naturally earlier boys were the ones complaining about this. But
right.
I do hear more about girls complaining. And, I've heard some people use the word fad, that there's quite a fad going on. And I was reading parts of the book, Irreversible Harm or something like that, Irreversible Damage.
Irreversible Damage.
Yeah.
Irreversible Damage,
That book was eye-opening because it showed a lot of liberals are now all of a sudden being hoisted on their own petard. It's like, wow, what have we unleashed here? And they're not happy about the development, especially if it involves their own children.
It's true. You would never know this from watching legacy, quote-unquote, mainstream media, but opposition to this ideology is indeed broad. And I have heard from a wide array of people, left-wing, right-wing, all of whom have children who are affected by this. There is increasing left-wing opposition to this, but if you watch CNN or any of the other major networks, they are insistent on framing this as a left versus right issue. It's not. Opposition to this is indeed very broad.
Okay.
We have unleashed a monster.
All right, let's talk a little bit more about Arkansas, because apparently that almost became like ground zero in this battle. First of all, what's the current status? You and I are recording this conversation on September 13th in the year of our Lord, 2021. Where is this law now? Because maybe the way this works out in the courts is very important to the whole battle.
It's tangled up in court right now, and we're going to have to see where it ends up. I don't know if it'll be this U.S. Supreme Court or if an appellate court will allow it to stand or not. That's where the fight's going to be. I anticipate that there might be some other conservative states pass similar laws, but we'll have to see. The question becomes whether there will be momentum across the country to do something similar, or whether what's going to happen next is lawsuits, malpractice lawsuits from people who have been harmed by these quote-unquote treatments.
Okay, why did the Republican governor, Asa Hutchinson, veto the bill in Arkansas?
That's a million-dollar question. I haven't dug into it so much, but if I had to guess, I would say it's probably the influence of the Chamber of Commerce or big money, perhaps big pharma. These are corporate interests that are backing this. The masses don't want it. Money talks, though, and perhaps it's other just, fear of LGBT lobbyists. I don't know. If anybody was going to sign a bill like this, I would think that it would be a conservative Republican, but it just proves that there are people that are afraid to do the right thing, in my estimation. And it's really stunning to watch. But to say why definitively, it would be pure speculation on my part. So those are just some ideas, but I really don't know.
And I understand,
disappointing.
According to your article, 17 different states filed, friends of the court
amicus briefs.
Yeah,
right.
That's interesting.
Right.
In support of the law.
Right. And that's a solid chunk of states. This is, there's been survey data of both red and blue states showing that the populace, the general public, is not okay with this, not to allow minors, under the age of 18 to do these kinds of experimental things. There was a poll from Spry Strategies and the Women's Liberation Front, which is a far left radical feminist group that did polling on this. And they found that I think it's approximately 60% plus of people in both conservative and liberal states found that this is not supported, but it's misleadingly framed in, again, the mainstream, purportedly mainstream press all the time. They would have you think that this is a legitimate life-saving healthcare issue when, in fact, children are being sterilized.
Oh, this is amazing. You know, it's interesting. I remember one time one expert, actually this was an attorney from the Thomas More Society, and she made the point that let's suppose you had a young person who struggled with anorexia. Well, you wouldn't right. sit down and say to that anorexic student or person, okay, here's what we need to do. You think you're fat. Okay, we need to start putting you on a strict diet plan. We need to get you on a strict
liposuction
exercise.
Right.
You know, no, in fact, they would say what we need to do is figure out how we can help you through therapy to, you know, realize mm-hmm. the reality of the situation. By the way, do you know offhand when people go the full route, that is those who identify as a transgender person, and they go the full route, mm-hmm. how many of them are happy after they've made the transition, and then how long does that happiness last?
Well, we don't really know a lot of these things because we don't have good data, because this is still a relatively new area of medicine. But usually what happens is that they're happy for a short time and then it wears off and they realize that cutting the body did not heal their mind. This is a psychological issue, and you don't fix psychological problems by amputating body parts or foreclosing fertility or, you know, removing reproductive organs. And, you know, this is just complete quack medicine, if you ask me. What we do know is that there's a study out of Sweden that is often cited, but it's the best data that I've seen. I think the lead author on that study was Cecilia Dejny, where they tracked all of the people who underwent these trans surgeries, because they have good numbers over there. The centralized medicine allows them to keep track of all of the data. And they found, with all that entire cohort, that there was, I think, a 19 times higher hazard of completed suicide after they've had these post-operative, after they had these surgeries. And so, I mean, it just makes basic sense that this doesn't solve their problems. And I just think part of the problem is that we don't hear enough from what are called detransitioners, those who have undergone these surgeries and this experimental medicalization only to regret it later. They have a hard time getting a voice in major media. I was floored that 60 Minutes yes. gave 7 minutes to some of those people some weeks back, but that's a very rare thing to find. And I mean, I've interviewed detransitioners. They've been through absolute horror. It's really heartbreaking and terrifying, the ordeals that they went through. And, you know, the doctors that treated them aren't helping them now. It's really, really sad.
Can you go back to that statistic you said, the 19 times, and just underscore that very statement alone? Because I want to make sure we understand exactly what you're saying.
Yes, they tracked all of the people in Sweden. Cecilia Dejny, she's the lead. I think this is in PLOS
right,
One,
right.
the academic journal. It's in a few other places. But they followed up the outcomes with all of the people over a period of time, I think it was either 2003 or 2007. I'm not sure on the final date. But they followed up with every single person that in that country had undergone these radical surgical interventions, and found that there was a 19 times higher hazard of completed suicide. And keep in mind, this is in Sweden. This is one of the most liberal countries
yes.
in the world, broadly accepting of LGBT ideology, completely welcoming of transsexualism. And still, there's this great scourge of people ending their lives after they did this. In Sweden, just recently, the Karolinska Hospital, where a lot of this experimental medicine is being done, it was just earlier this year, it said as of April 1st, they were not going to allow children under the age of 16 to consent to puberty-blocking drugs because their cognitive faculties aren't developed enough. And we know the brain doesn't, you know, finish developing, and I think, till like age 25. So to allow a child to say, I want to do this to my body, that'll have far-reaching effects and, again, foreclose their fertility, I mean, what kind of sense does that make? They don't even let children get tattoos or smoke cigarettes or get a driver's license or vote, and yet, you know, they're going to do this kind of radical thing to their bodies? I mean, no. Even Sweden, liberal Sweden, is waking up to this.
Wow. All right, well, we're out of time. Thank you so much for joining us, Brandon Showalter. And again, the website would be christianpost.com. Thank you so much for being with us. All the best.
Thank you.